At this time, I'd like to bring up Pastor Jim Mandel.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise for Pastor Kurt. You know, we're ending off for the new year. 2017 has passed. It's been an exciting year. It's been an interesting year. I have watched our lives change in many, many different areas. We've had babies born. We had new homes and new jobs. We had, you know, children going off to college and, you know, moving on with their life, stepping out of home, becoming a man. We've had many, many things. And we've been watching, as the years go on, our future. And we are now approaching 2018. We've been in ministry now for 20 years. 20 years is a long time. 20 years, tried and tested, and we have a strong conviction. And if I wanted to title this message, I would title it, Why This Gospel? Why I say this gospel? Because it's a gospel that comes out of our testimony. Why this gospel? And I'm going to call each one of the pastors up. There's Pastor Kurt, Pastor Sam, Pastor Tim, and myself. And for 2017, we want to share with our listeners and those that are here, why this gospel? And share out of our own personal testimony, out of our heart, why this gospel? And why we're doing what we're doing. And the conviction that we hold. You know, if I had anything to say, I want you to take this to your heart. Live your conviction. Live your life. Live your conviction. If you have a conviction, live it. Because if you don't live your conviction, you don't live. No matter what it is, live your conviction. So I'm going to ask whatever pastor is going to go first, I'm going to ask them to come up and start this message, Why This Gospel? Amen. Pastor Sam's going to head us off. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise to Pastor Sam. I also want our listeners to know that in the world, we probably wouldn't have each other. And I share this a lot.
Definitely would
not. Double definitely. No. But in the call, we have each other. And the bond is inseparable. It's in the call. And I wanted to express that because in God, there's a whole different world, a whole different family, a whole different relationship, a whole different life. And so, why this gospel? It's going to start off with Pastor Sam. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
Amen. Give a little testimony. I guess that's the best way to do it today. I grew up in a household without a lot of love. My father was very stoic. His father before him was, he worked in masonry. He was like a bricklayer, so he was like a rock also. No emotion, just, you know, these are the facts. It is what it is. You know, it was very stoic. And my father got involved in the ministry when I was really young. And we were at a camp meeting one time. And he had been to many meetings with these people. And I went to this camp meeting with him one time, and we were in this place down by the shore, and my father never showed emotion, never ever like danced, never sang, like he was, you know, he was just, that was him, he was like a man's man, real tough guy. So I'm sitting there listening to this music, and they're all worshiping, and all of a sudden I saw my father get hit, and his head went down, he started crying, and crying. And crying. And he got up and started dancing around that place, crying his eyes out, worshiping God. And I knew something happened to him. Nothing to do with the people who were there. It was for me. He got touched for me. The people who were there, nothing to do with it. He had gotten touched. And I saw God move at a young age, changed a man who was a rock to that made him a piece of clay in a matter of seconds. And I knew the power of God right there, and I saw it. And, you know, all growing up, my father, he was in a ministry in Camden, and he had this big Jesus van. And he parked this thing outside my house. And every day the school bus pulled up, and the whole bus ridiculed me every single day. And I would say, "Dad, will you please get that bus out of the driveway? You're killing me." And he was like, "Look, my father had a conviction, and he followed it 100%. At that time in his life, at that time in the world, he was right. 100%, and he didn't waver. He didn't waver at all. He followed his conviction. He didn't care who said what. He didn't care what anybody thought. He knew that he was changed, and no one could take that away from him. Nothing he ever went through, he was in Catholic Church his whole life, nothing he'd ever gone through had changed him like this, and I saw the change. He went from beating us, not, you know, beating us, but, you know, beating us with a belt and screaming at us in anger and maliciousness to talking calmly with us. He had changed in a miraculous way where he was calm. He wasn't tossed to and fro. He wasn't emotional. He wasn't a wreck anymore. He had been changed. And I saw this my whole life. And the change stayed forever. It stayed until the day he died. She was changed. He had, you know, the miracle is the day he died, Pastor Jim and I were over his work moving a camera. And he said to me, "Let me tell you something. Something's going on with your father." I said, "What?" He goes, "He has this incredible glow around him right now." He died that night. He said, "There's a glow around your father. He's glowing." And that night, and that we had prayer worship up there. Me, Tim, Kurt, and Jim. And I got a phone call at 10:30. And I said, right there I knew. I said, "My dad just died." Without picking the phone up, I knew the phone call. And I said to Jim, "My dad just died." Right to him. Before I even answered the phone, I said, "My dad just died." I don't know how I knew it. I just knew it. God gave me grace. And that night he died. You know, and I was involved in his ministry. And the ministry at that time was where it was supposed to be. They were very religious. They were very Jesus-based. And their whole focus was, have a relationship with Jesus. Have a relationship with Jesus. And I was trying to have a relationship with Jesus. And I was trying. I was saying, "I worship you. I worship you." I was praising him. But I wasn't changing on the inside. Only thing that was changing was my outward expression. I was emotional. I had an emotional relationship with an unseen God. That's all I had. That's all I had. And I duped myself into thinking I had changed. But I still kept doing the things I didn't want to do. Tossed to and fro, having fear, having worry, having anger beyond control. I mean, believe me, Tim knows, I was, you know, there was anger, a lot of anger. No peace. And I kept trying that religious, you know, avenue. And, you know, God showed me this thing, a vision one time. And it was me standing in front of a desert. And there was a path blazed before me. And everyone knows that if you go out in the woods, you leave like breadcrumbs, or you follow like the Boy Scouts put those things on trees, you can follow the path. Well, someone went before us and blazed a path. And the path has been laid for us to follow. Doesn't matter who laid the path. We're not here to worship the one who laid the path. We're here to follow the path. That's all we're here to do. The man who laid the path is gone. He's gone. He did his job and he's done. Our job is to just follow the path. That's how we follow Christ. Because the path has been laid through the desert. And we follow, we pick up a breadcrumb. Oh, good, we're doing good. We keep going further and further and further until we reach the promised land, which is peace, joy, and righteousness. This is all we want. This ministry gives you a relationship with God, the Creator, the Almighty. And that's what this ministry is for. And Jesus' whole goal was just to set that path for us. He never, ever, ever said one time in the whole Bible, "Worship me." Never once did he say, "Praise me." He said, "See what you're doing? Don't do it. Worship God and him only. Stop worshiping me." He said it right to us. Don't worship me. Worship God and him only. because he knew. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. Of myself, I can't do nothing. But I only do what the Father tells me to do and tells me to say. I do nothing on my own. Nothing. And we're here to break this religious lie that has put people in bondage and kept them in bondage. They're not getting set free. They're not being healed and delivered. They're not changing the way they think. See, for me, the whole message was in the garden. When Jesus said, if it be your will, Father, let this cup pass from before me. I don't want to go die. I don't want to go suffer. I don't want to go die for the sins of the world. I don't want to do this. That's me. I don't want to do it. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. He set examples for us to follow. He put breadcrumbs on the ground, said, follow this. Not to be worshipped, but just follow the example. Laying your life down. Laying your life down. And denying yourself. He said, not my will. Because his will was to get the heck out of there. The soul was saying, yo, get out. Even Peter, the soul is slick. He'll come to you with your best friends. He'll come to you with the people of the world and they'll say, yeah, I don't know. You shouldn't go there. You should go there. Don't go to Jerusalem. Go to Jericho. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. No one knows what's in your heart but you and God. No one in this world knows what's in your heart but you and God. That's where the intimacy comes from. It's intimate. There's a relationship that only you and him have. And that's all he wants from us. An intimate relationship where we trust him in all things. Nothing else matters. We've all been through similar backgrounds. You know, like I said, the ministry in Camden was very religious. But my father and my uncle, at that time, like Pastor said a long time, at that time, that was the right gospel. But, you know, he said, I'm doing a new thing. But it really isn't new, but it is new for us because this is new for us. And it's become repent. In the last days, no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonah the prophet that says repent. Repent. And that's why we're here. So that we all will repent and find that peace and joy and happiness. And we're not subject to do the things we don't want to do, say the things we don't want to say anymore. You know, I don't want to be a victim of my soul. I don't want to be a puppet for my soul, hurting people, hurting myself, not moving forward in God, not receiving everything I have from God. He has a life for every one of us. And Kurt put it in here. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's God speaking to every one of us today through this message right here. That's what he wants. Amen. I'm going to bring up
Amen. Let's give Pastor Sam a round of applause. That was some testimony. And I'm Pastor Tim. We've been at this ministry, this walk with God for 20 years. The great thing about it is we've stood tall. Through thick and thin, we've seen many people come and we've seen many people go. But the one constant is that we've all trusted our entire lives in God. And believe me, there's been times where I believe all four of us have just said, look, man, why do we continue to do this? Why do we come here faithfully on a Wednesday night and in a Sunday? And the real honest truth is that God placed a passion in our hearts, not only for him, but for you. You know, we don't ask for money. We don't come here to get paid. We don't come here to make this a career. But we come here so that we could fellowship with God, fellowship with you, and to get this gospel, this truth out to the entire world. You know, we want to see people's lives changed for the better. You know, reflecting on my life, I mean, I can attest that when I came to this ministry 20 years ago, I was a mess. I had a lot of pride. I was broke. I was alone. I was scared. and had a lot of rejection. But over the 20 years of saying, okay, God, what do I got to do to be saved? I placed myself under the leadership of this ministry. I've surrendered my life, not trying to figure it out anymore. And God has changed me for the better. Reflecting back when I was, even before this ministry, I was involved with Pastor Sam and his testimony about the ministry we had out in Camden. You know, it was full of religion, but at that time, that's all we knew. You know, so if you're out there and you're involved in religion, that's all you know, and that's just the time that you were brought through religion. But now, God wants to bring you out of religion into a true relationship with Him where you can have a relationship on a daily basis where you can hear His voice and you can trust Him and you can see God move on your behalf, where it's not you moving, it's God moving on your behalf. You know, like when Pastor Sam was bringing up the fact that, you know, Jesus said, not my will, God, but your will be done. That is our message to the whole world, because we have a will. We have a willpower to do things and accomplish things in the world. But are you going to be satisfied if you're accomplishing it? Because, you know, our glory fades away, but the glory that God gives us and God honors us with will never fade away. You know, there's scripture verses that say, you know, when you store up the treasures in your heart in a heavenly place, not here on earth, you know, right then and there, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are striving. Like I was watching people, we were in Disneyland and watching people like getting so excited about Disney, but that glory is going to fade away the next week when they get back to reality. You know, how are you in a circumstance every day? How are you handling things on a daily basis? This is what this ministry talks about, the true gospel, is how are you standing tall despite the fact that maybe this wall's falling down and this world's falling down, but how's your heart? Is it troubled, or you got peace and joy in it? You know, I can attest to myself that, yeah, I had a lot of bad depression, you know, years ago. And I didn't know how to get out of it until I got involved in this ministry. And I started to come here and apply the truth that was being spoken and being taught. Because if not, I'd be probably in some mental asylum sitting there with four walls looking at it in a straitjacket. That's how bad it was. I mean, it was bad. I wanted to commit suicide years ago, back in college. But God wouldn't let me, because He knew the promises isn't a hope. Just like this scripture, I'd give you a future and a hope. He had a future and a hope for me. You know, all my life, I was always wanting a mate. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And even Pastor Jim and Pastor Sam and Pastor Kurt were like, Tim, it's going to come. It's going to come. And it felt like an eternity. But you know what? Through their teachings and their patience with me, they said, look, just be patient. Put it on a shelf for a while and just get to know God. And that's what happened. I was on a ministry trip in South Africa, and my wife saw me on the internet on my face on, I don't, was it MySpace back then? And she just said, hi, how you doing? You're kind of cute. My name's Allie. You know, and I just answered back when I got back from my trip, and we've been inseparable since. You know, and God put us together. You know, it's been a true blessing in my life, and He gave me two kids. He gave me two wonderful, beautiful kids. And I believe God has a hope and a future for everyone, but you have to trust Him. You know, our gospel's real because I experienced religion. Growing up as a kid, I watched my grandfather. He brought me to church on a religious obligation basis, but he did the best he could to try to instill in me beliefs and instill in me God. And it got me to a certain level. And then when I got through college and we got into that ministry, look, they only had the knowledge and the grace that was given to them, and they brought us to a certain level. And then God said, no, now I'm going to take you guys to another level. And we're at an ultimate level right now where I believe the whole world is ready to receive this gospel. Because the whole world right now is crying out, and they're saying, I need help. I've tried religion. I tried worshiping Jesus. I tried worshiping Buddha. I tried all these different methodologies of philosophies of religion, and it hasn't brought them peace and joy inside. They might tell you they have it, but their fruit isn't remaining. It's not showing. But we've stood the test of time. We four men here, plus the people that have been here faithfully, 20 years we've been here, through thick and thin. But you know what? We stood and we fought the good fight, and we're going to continue to fight the good fight because God is with us and the truth is setting us free on a daily basis. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and say, hey, I don't have struggles and I don't have trials and testimony, trials and tribulations. We all do. But we have a constant, which is God, who works on our behalf. Because he is greater than anything that can go on in the world that we go through. He is greater if we trust him. And if we put our lives in his hands, and it's not our will, but his will be done. Look, we all have testimonies of things we've gone through with the, say, the IRS and the government and financial issues and things like that. But guess what? Time passed. God got us through it. God got us through it. We could have lost this place. I could have lost my house. You know, I could have lost all my belongings. But you know what? God was faithful and true, and he gave us back doublefold. Just like Job. And the other thing, too, is our ministry is basically just like the Apostle Paul. You know, in Acts, Apostle Paul, he went to Athenia where they were worshiping false gods, and he even perceived that they were worshiping religious idols in different religions. And he was like, you know, I'm going to tell you guys about the unknown God. I think it was Pastor Sam or Pastor Kurt brought that up earlier today. He said, I want to show you and tell you about the unknown God, because that's what the whole world doesn't know. They don't know the God that's happening right now. The God of love and of peace and of strength, who will fight on your behalf if you trust him. But you need to have faith. You have to have faith, not in yourself, but in God. You got to trust him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. There's going to be many naysayers out there that are going to tell you other things. They're going to make you feel negative and try to steal things from your life. But you know what? If you cling on to God, his power, his authority will overcome that in you. You know, we've been talking messages about hearing the voice of God. Everybody thinks it's just picking up scripture verses and reading them. That's how you hear the voice. No, there's a little small voice deep inside your heart that speaks to you every day out of conviction. You know, I think Pastor Jim was talking about conviction today. We have to follow our convictions. It's not about following the mind, because the mind's going to toss you to and fro through every wind of doctrine that comes in. It's going to steer you this way, that way. And you know what? You're not going to have peace and joy in your life. But what you're going to have is a troubled heart. But if you listen to this, and there's a conviction there, it doesn't matter if you think it's right or wrong. You need to follow it, because that's the righteousness of God when you're obedient to him. You know, Jesus even said, you know, I learned by the things that I suffered. He learned by it. We're all going to suffer things because we're going to divert from the truth, but then God brings us back into the truth. But our whole goal with this ministry and to get this out there is so that you will bear much fruit through repentance, and that your fruit will remain. And that fruit is peace, joy, love, righteousness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering. We can go on and on with it. But it's something that everyone can attain. We talk about Christ in here, and it's not Jesus Christ. It's the Christ that's in every single individual in this world, whether race, creed, sex, religion, doesn't matter. It's in every single person. But you have to be willing to receive the divine nature of God. You have to receive it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a horse drink. We can share the gospel. We can share our truth over and over. But you have to be open to receive it. You have to be open. And you have to be open to apply it in your life. You can have all the head knowledge in the world. We've come across many men and women that have head knowledge of scripture verses, of God. But they don't have, they're lacking a couple things, peace and joy in their life, because they're not applying it. But when you apply the gospel that we're talking about, you will have peace and you will have joy. And it doesn't matter what circumstance you're going through. It doesn't matter. Because it's only there for a moment. It's there to show you who God is. Because God brings these situations in our life so that we can cry out to him even more. There's times where sometimes when we're in the world, we forget God. and we start focusing on worldly things, we start focusing on problems and stuff like that, and then God focus brings us back into focus. It's not there to punish us, but it's there to reveal Him in us so that we can have a one-on-one relationship with Him. It's not about religion. I've seen much religion. Look, I'm on Twitter every day, and I'm looking at different ministries. I'm listening to what the gospel's being said out there. And it's not the gospel that I know. It's not the gospel that I know, because I tried it, and it didn't bring me any peace. It didn't bring me any joy. But it brought confusion to me. It brought me confusion. Like Pastor Sam was saying, we used to go into that streets of Camden. We were doing good works and good services and good acts. But we were in torment. We weren't setting anybody free. They were looking at us and saying, hey, you sound good. You might smell better than I do. But your word's not freeing me. But now we have the keys to life and to bring you out of death. If you just hear what we got to say and do what we tell you to do, not in a dictating way, but we hold keys that are mysteries to why things happen in our lives. And if we tell you, look, if you do this a certain way, watch how God changes the circumstance. If you listen and apply it, you will be set free, because God says, I will set you free by truth. But you have to be willing to receive truth. You have to be willing to apply truth. That's why we get here on Wednesday nights. Like, we don't get paid for this. Look, I'm not here to make a lavish lifestyle of this, but I'm here because there's a burning fire and passion in my heart, because I want people to understand the love of God. If we just have one person come to the love of God, we've done our job. Seriously. God's not a God of numbers. He doesn't care how many people get saved, as long as the person cries out and wants to be saved and wants to have a relationship with Him. And that's the truth. He says He leaves a 99 to go after the one. One person has a broken and contrite heart that wants to have a relationship with Him. He'll go after them. He'll leave those 99 that are stuck in their ways, that don't want to hear it, that want to just continue to live in their head knowledge and want to be haughty and full of pride. He doesn't care about them. He does, but He doesn't. Because He'll long suffer with them and let them continue to do what they're doing until eventually they break, and then He opens His arms to them again. But there's a lot of people out there that I know are suffering, and I know they want the truth. And this is the right place. Because if you apply it and you listen to what we have to say, and you start to apply this gospel, you will be set free. You will be set free. Amen? I'm going to call up Pastor Kurt. Let's give Pastor Kurt a round of applause.
Thanks, Tim. Happy New Year tomorrow. You know, very interesting. While we're looking back, yesterday I was cleaning out my bedroom, and there's a shelf in the bedroom, and it's got all Bibles and books, and I started dusting everything. I don't know why, but I did. So I started cleaning off the shelf, and I'm putting all these books on my bed. And it was really just a blaze of where this ministry started and where it came, where it's come to. And the ministry for me started, well, God touched me on September 11th, 2001. And I was searching, started searching for a place. I always had God in my heart, even when I was a kid and I was a knucklehead. I always felt and knew that God was speaking to me, and I was ignorant to it, and was telling God, not now. But I know there was, looking back on it, I know there was a purging in those days. And so 2011, I was searching, and actually my wife was actually coming here, I believe, at this time. And I went to a couple different churches, and it just didn't sit right in my heart, you know. And I came in, and I had a leather jacket on, a couple earrings, a mullet, I think. And I met this dude that was very similar to me, but was different. And I know we talked later on, and he said, I can't wait to lay hands on this guy. And there was a couple speakers, and it was in this place, and everybody lined up for ministering afterwards. And I was battling within me. There was that soul, and there was that spirit that was battling. And I was just praying. I was like, Lord, if this is of you, you know, I want to go up there and I want to be touched by you. But you got to come and get me. I'm not going to stand up. And everybody was in line for this guy that was here. And Pastor Jim came over, and he wasn't a pastor yet. He came over to me and he said, I want to lay my hands on you. God wants to touch you. And I stood up, and I mean, I had anxiety, hatred. There was so much in me, man. And I stood up, and this blanket hit me on the top of my head and went down to the soles of my feet and knocked me on my ass. And God's love touched me that day, and I haven't been the same since. We started out as a ministry, and Jim got touched, I think, a couple months later. But we ended up at that in that Camden ministry. And I remember Jim laying hands on people, and I remember a guy falling out and a dog licking that guy's face, and the dog fell out. And that's no lie. And that was the power of God. You know, and I look back, and nothing was wrong. Nothing was wrong in this ministry's walk. And the stuff that I was picking up and looking at, there was books from people that spoke here, and everything was, every time somebody tried to get involved in this ministry, God cut them off. And I'm not, we did not cut anybody off, never threw anybody out of this ministry. God the Almighty threw them out. And there was people that their souls were involved, and they saw the power of God in here, and they tried to pervert it. And I thank God for the strength of Pastor that said no. And as we grew, because Sam, Tim, and myself were little puppies at the time. He didn't know what the heck was going on. All he kept on saying was just praise God. And we used to sit in this place for hours, which I don't know how my marriage lasts, because that was the mercy of God right there, because I spent more time with Jim than I did with my family. But I needed it. My family needed it. My children needed it. So I was looking through these books yesterday, and I came across this little book. My wife's a, what do you call that? When you make a scrapbooker, right? And it has a picture of India on it, right? It's a little plastic book like this big. And it said 2003 on it. So that was our trip in 2003. Jim goes, we're going to India. And it was Jim, Tim, and myself. We went to India, and if you had an hour or five, I could tell you about that trip. So I started looking through the pictures, and I actually forgot to bring it today, so, but I will bring it in for the ministry to look at. And there's probably a dozen or 15 pictures in it. And about a third, I mean, it was crazy, but the third to last picture in the book was a guy walking on all fours. Do you remember that? He was walking on all fours. See, in India, they don't hide the demons. They either worship them or become them. That's the only thing I can say about it. This dude walked on all fours. Now we would, and Mayor did a nice thing of it. It has the flyer wrapped around. Pastor Jim Mandel from the United States is going to be ministering on these dates and at this time. And we were up on a stage, and there was a few thousand people there. They sent a cow out because that's what they worshiped, and they thought we were like devil worshipers, and that cow booted out. You know, God took care of that. But there was a guy, a man that came up on stage with a white eye. Jim laid hands on him. God touched him. Next day he came back, he could see out of the eye. He waited in line for like an hour. just to give that testimony that God touched him. There was three testimonies that come to my heart. There was another guy that didn't have any muscles in his or bone in his legs. He was jelly. I kid you not. And I mean, this dude was like a jellyfish. And he wasn't the guy that walked on all fours. That guy had bone. He just couldn't stand up. This guy had jelly in his legs and was like a squid. Pastor laid hands on him. He fell out in the power of God. God touched him. All right. Remember, this is Jim just being obedient. Not my will, your will be done. I only do and say what the Father tells me to do and say. Guy falls out in the power of God. I kid you not, within what, a half hour? He's slinging his legs around, walking. I kid you not. I witnessed it, Tim witnessed it, and Jim witnessed it. That's what our God does. There was another woman there who was as gray as Tim's sweatshirt. And they brought her up. And if she could just touch the garment of Jesus. And that was Pastor Jim at that point, because he was the servant of God. She would be healed. And he hugged her, and he fell out in the spirit. And that woman's complexion completely changed in 2 seconds. And there was one more. And there was a boy who had legions of demons in him. And I saw this twice, actually, because I saw one in Mexico, too, where Jim hugged that boy, fell out in the spirit, and just wept. And God touched that little boy, and those demons left him. He straightened out. He started screaming, and those things left him. What we left in India, what God left in India, is testimony upon testimony upon testimony upon testimony. He did the same thing in South Africa. He did the same thing. All these countries here, they're in the forefront. And God's not done. Because that's our call here. To be a witness and a servant of the Almighty God. He's blessed me. I can only speak for myself. All the garbage that I've gone through as a kid has left me. Never to come back into my mind and make me feel guilty or shameful. It's brought me to a place of peace and joy and love with my family and my kids. Because if I was that same person, there's no way in hell I could love my children or my wife. But I can today. And not just my children, but everybody that I come across. People do wrong to me, and it hurts. And then I see when they're broken, they come to me. And I say, thank you, Father. Thank you for using me, Lord, to speak your truth. Because I don't care what drug you're on. I don't care about what alcohol. I don't care about depression. Medications do not work. They cover it up. But the love of God will break it, shatter it. It will be no more. You will walk with a relationship with the Father that it was meant to be from the beginning. This is all God wanted the whole time. 2,000 years ago, Jesus even said it. I am not good. The only one that is good is my Father in heaven. Peter said it. Jesus, a man like you and me, that God did signs and wonders through. I was at a funeral Friday, Catholic funeral. I walked up, there's the casket of the man. The guy works for me, whose father died. This guy's 58 years old. I look in the casket, this isn't a church. He's got a sitting right next to him. But I walked up, Mayor was right with me. God did something very special in that man's life. He broke, Mayor witnessed it. The love of God came upon me and him when we hugged. And something marvelous happened to that individual. And he couldn't stop crying. He wanted to pull away, but he couldn't. I could feel it in him. And I just looked at Mary and I said, this is why we had to stop by. We were only there for what? A minute? 2 minutes? But that's God. This is what I want in my life and for my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and their children and their children and their children. I want it for every individual in the world. Because if everybody had this, nobody would ever have to want for anything. And they would be blessing others because they know if they bless others, they will be blessed. It's not about money. It's about peace. It's about joy. It's about His love. Trust me, I need so much more of His love. Because He's given us the grace and the mercy of where He's at today. See, God's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. But the evil's being poured out. And if you can't see that, you got your head in the sand. So His grace is increasing. His knowledge is increasing. His understanding is increasing. It's not our understanding. It's not our knowledge. We're as dumb as a box of rocks. But that's why He chose us. Because we would lean on Him. All we have to do is surrender the mind. That's all we have to do. Surrender the thought process. Like Tim was saying, and Sam was saying, and I'm sure Jim, and Jim has spoken in the past, not our will. Your will be done, Father. Yeah, we get caught up in this world? Absolutely. We all fall short of the glory of God. Because that is why He is God. And that's why Satan fell. Because he thought he was on equal lines with God. Now he's God's pet in the spirit. Because he can only do what God allows him to do. And God uses him for God's glory. Read the book of Job. He wasn't allowed to touch Job until he said, go ahead, but don't kill him. He's his puppet. So everything that happens in our lives, don't be looking and giving glory to the devil. Say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for smacking me on the butt and keeping that straight and narrow path. Because it's a narrow path. Wide is the path of destruction. Narrow is the gates of heaven. This is why this truth needs to come out. God will grab you by the hand. Listen, 20 years for four knuckleheads to be walked gingerly down a path. Because His love and His mercy are so great that we can't understand it. Why He chose us. Why He chose you to hear these words. Gradually taking us. And trust me, we're not there yet. By the time you're there, I think you're gone. Right? That's it. So we don't fret when people lose their lives. Who am I to say when a kid jumps off a bridge, he's not screaming out, oh, Father, I am so sorry. But the way we live our lives here, we may not ever have that opportunity because that bus could come by and take you right out. His glory, His mercy, His love, His compassion that you have in you are all Him. That's Him. When you hear that voice inside here, you'll know you're talking, that's God and Christ in you because it's all good. It's not about making more money, making more money, making more money. Yeah, there may be a thought or an idea that drops out of nowhere. Yeah, that's heaven. And God wants you to follow that conviction. But it's not about screwing people over and stealing and robbing. It's about giving your heart and having that relationship with the Father. Amen? At this time, I'd like to bring up Pastor Jim Mandel.
I'm just so overwhelmed right now. We're sharing with the world why this gospel. 2018 is coming. We feel an urgency of why this gospel. And you were able to hear from each one of the pastors of the conviction that is in their heart why this gospel. And this gospel, in my words, why this gospel is because he touched me. My life was touched in a way that has freed me. I was once sick, lost. It was spiritual. Physically, I wasn't sick. Physically, I wasn't lost. I knew where I was. I knew who I was. But spiritually, where true life is, I was sick, crying out. No joy, no peace. I was finding my joy and my peace in the world, of the things of the world, whether it was vacation, buying toys, you know, womanizing and gambling and drinking, whatever it might have been, to give me that temporary relief of a satisfaction of some type of joy, some type of peace. But he touched me. My heart was crying out. I didn't know God. I knew of God. There is a God. Yes. Like the whole world, I believe, is the same like me. Yeah, there's a God. Yes, them. Is there? Yeah, there's a God. Yeah, there's a God. But there's a real God when he touches you. And my heart was crying out. And he came into my life, as he did with the other pastors here, listening to their testimonies and hearing their conviction of why they're doing what they're doing is because of a fire burning inside. Whether we want to call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever we might want to say, but there's a fire burning inside. And I know that there are fires burning inside of others too. Live their conviction. Live that conviction. For 2018, I want to encourage everyone to live that conviction. And if they want to really know God, hear us out. Because through that, I want to say we are the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one can come to the Father except through us. And that's a bold statement. Some people might want to call it heresy or blaspheming. What are you saying? What are you trying to say? But God is real and he's alive. And I know that there are a lot of people out there wanting that relationship, and it comes supernatural. It could have came when you were younger, but then that fire burned out. And now you're going through the traditions and the motions, but the fire isn't in. We are able to kindle that fire in each and every one of us. And that's, I truly believe, how the body of Christ works. But in that, if you're crying out, Abba, Father, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and being honest with yourself, because that's the only way that God came and knocked on our door. He says, though I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone would answer, I'd come in and dine with him. And he came in. Our hearts were opened and we said, come. And then we got to see the glory of God. I know the glory. We know the glory. We've seen the glory. We touched the glory. And if you ever knew or saw or ever was able to taste the glory of God, you will understand what we're saying. There are a lot of people that may say they know God. As one of the pastors said, I come to see that you know the unknown God. And I'm here to tell you about the unknown God. Because they haven't tasted the glory. They haven't seen the glory. They haven't felt his love. I felt his love. We felt his love. And the only way that you can get this love is to come to an honest place within yourself. Are you well? Do you truly have peace? Do you truly have joy? Do you truly have righteousness? Because righteousness is a big key. And what I mean by a big key of having God in your life is, if we're carrying guilt and we're carrying any shame, I'm telling you, you will not have God in your life. God is a person. He's a living being. This God that we talk about dwells in you. And there has to be a place for Him to dwell in. And to create a place for Him to dwell in. You can't rudely ask God, "Hey God, I want to believe in you and I want you to be my God." He's going to snub His nose at you because your house is not prepared. You don't have a dwelling place for the living God to dwell in. He's not going to dwell with dirt. He's going to dwell with holiness. He's going to dwell within Him. We lead you to that place. When I say that we are the only way, the truth, and the life, and you can't come to God except through us, it's because without showing you how to clean your house, without showing you how to have a dwelling place for God, if no one tells you how to clean out your house, you're going to think that you're living okay. And then, for example, let's say that you're used to having a real dirty room, cluttered all over the place, living in dirt, so to say. And another individual who doesn't live that way, they live clean, orderly. And they walk into your room and they say, "Oh, this is a mess. I got to get out of here. It's dirty, it's messy, it's cluttered. I can't take it anymore." Has anyone ever felt that way before? I know I am. I'm a person that has a weird sickness to themselves. Things have to be in their proper order, and if they're not in their proper order, I get a little nervous. I'm a little upset. I'm like uneasy. It's like, who moved that? It's out of place. And I realize at the same time, this is how we invite God into our lives. Our house needs to be in order. And if our house is not in order, then He doesn't come in and dwell. God taught me these things. The hidden mysteries of eternal life. And God is an eternal life. It's an eternal life. And it brings salvation. It sets you free. It allows you to be a pillar. It allows you to be bold. It allows you to have confidence to walk on water. God gives you the ability, His Spirit, to accomplish life and be able to take the struggles and the hits that the world gives us. To live in the world, it's death. But to come out of the world is life. And not only life, but everlasting life. I'm going to ask the girls and Rachel if you were able to come up too. I want to end my message in this song, because this song describes why this gospel. Why this gospel? Why do we stand here with a conviction in our heart, not looking for anything other than to bring this water to you so that you'll never go thirsty again? To help you fight the struggles that you're dealing with in the world, because in the world you'll have troubles. But when you come out of the world and God is in you, because you prepared a house for Him to dwell in, you come out of the world and you don't have troubles. You have a sense of being able to deal with the world and the things of the world, and you're set apart, and you're able to come into an eternal bliss of glory. My God is a God of glory. I want the world to know our God. I want the world to relate and get hungry. I want what they have. I want what they have. That's what I want the world to hear right now. I want them to see four individuals who have lived their life in a conviction of love to a God who you can't see, but we see him through spiritual eyes. We know him through spiritual senses. His presence is always with us. And when you sense his presence, as the testimonies of Pastor Kurt said earlier, within his own life, he went to that funeral. And by just embracing that man in love, the presence of God changed him. As Jesus walked with the presence of God, God was able to do many signs, wonders, and miracles through him because the love of God dwelled within him. And why we do what we do is because of the love of God that is in us. You can go ahead and start. And I want us to just open our hearts because I want this same God to dwell with you. This is why we do what we do. So that you can have a relationship with this God that we found, or he found us, by us crying out. It's his presence. If he takes his presence from me, I don't anymore. There's no other reason to live this life other than vanity. But in him, I have a life. It's that next man that I hug, or that next child I see that's sick, that needs to be embraced in the love of God. The next one who's hurting, who needs a touch from God. How is the world going to know him if he doesn't dwell in us for us to be him on earth? It's coming. We're going to be him. Your heart, I see it, crying. Change the world. Let them experience your presence, Lord. There's no need for them to suffer anymore. That's God. Let us walk with confidence to know who we are in 2018. Let the world hear our voice. Don't take your presence away. Let it burn to know him. I want to know him more. In 2018, I hope and pray that his spirit is poured out in each and every one that hears my voice. And that he comes and dwells with you. And you can sense his presence. Because it's all about his presence. It's all about having him dwell with you. To take all the troubles and pains away. Not only in your life, but in everyone else's life. Everyone that you come across, whether it's family, friends, loved ones, or that person on the street, they're going to feel it. I believe God's going to develop a team to walk with his love. And we're going to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles because of his love. God put bone in that man's legs because he was a jellyfish. Only through his love. Through the love that flowed through us into him. From all things, from him, through us, into them.
And I fall down on my knees.
I worship him.
I can feel your presence.
Just worship him because he'll take all your pain.
Suddenly
endure you with power and create a life.
Surrender to your love.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. right now.
I surrender to the Lord.
You know, I admire Pastor Sam's humility, because he failed to mention when he cried out, I want this relationship with you, God. I've seen it in my father. I've seen it in this man. I want this relationship. And as he cried out, I saw the power of God just hit him and wept at the love of God for hours. What makes a grown man cry? I'm not in pain. I'm in love. I'm in his presence. It shows that I'm not worthy enough to be in his presence. But because of him and his love, I'm undone. I'm undone because of his presence. The empowerment that he poured on me to know who I am, free from guilt, free from shame, who were all put in bondage. The shackles are broken.
I can feel your presence.
I'm free.
Embracing
his love. Confessing a living God as a fool, looking weak, but yet strong in him, having boldness to know that tomorrow is going to be okay, to know that my eternal life will be with him, and give me a comfort to know that everyone that I'm in love with, it's going to be okay too.
I surrender to the one who took my place. I can feel your presence here with me. Suddenly I'm lost with
you. If you're there listening, just open up your heart and ask for his presence to come into your life. Him dwell with you, and you'll sense what we go through. You'll understand how a grown man can sit here and weep in the love of God, this unknown God that we call our God. This might look foolish, but I'm going to say, those who judge, it's a life that you'll never give up. Once you're touched by the presence of God and he dwells with you, you'll never, never go back. You become a servant, walking with conviction. And when he says go, you go. When he says stop, you stop. When he speaks and says jump, you jump. When he says stay and rest, you rest. It's his life now. No longer is it I that lives, but he that lives within us. We're forgiven. No more guilt and shame. It's a power that cleanses you, because the world will put shame on you.
I can feel your presence.
The world will tell you you're not worthy enough.
Suddenly I'm lost.
The world will point out your faults. But in the power of him, in your heart, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. this coming year of 2018, I'm going to begin to share the mysteries of these living beings so that you can embrace the presence of God in a more greater way in your life. You will know joy personally. You will know peace personally. You will know righteousness personally. You will know life personally. Oh, sent his son, the Christ, the divine nature of God, living and dwelling, not the prophets, but the Spirit of the living God, Christ, dwelling in each and every one, standing, waiting to be birthed, waiting to become one with you, waiting, sitting there, waiting. Birth within you to be transformed into his image. It's time to uncover the mystery of the divine nature of God living in each and every one of us, to let us be born, reborn in him, in his presence, where heaven invades earth, on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Make 2018 a house, a dwelling place for our God. Amen. Amen.